This question writes, can you speak about jealousy and how I can practice to combat the envy others have in my practice? Sometimes friends can be critical and speak in a way that is judgmental and disparaging towards me. I feel misunderstood. How can I deal with this? We can put aside the fact that envy and jealousy are not the same thing. However, they are similar to the extent that the questioner is projecting out onto other people's opinions more than is really good for them. You ask, how do I deal with this? Well, the way to deal with it is to develop self-confidence. Now, from the start, let's be quite clear that self-confidence, in the way that the Buddha would encourage it, is not the same thing as being self-centered or egotistical or narcissistic. There's a wholesome self-confidence and then there's an imbalanced form of self-confidence. So we're talking about the former and not the latter. How to develop a wholesome sense of self-confidence so that the opinions of other people don't really matter. That's the way to deal with it. And there's plenty of encouragement in our teachings about how to do that, starting, for instance, with generosity. Are we generous or are we mean? Generous people are usually confident people. They're in touch with their sense of worth. They've got enough to give away. Whereas if we're obsessed with the idea of always feeling lacking and concerned about getting more for ourselves, then we're certainly not generous. So generosity is a virtue that can be cultivated, and in the cultivation of it, I would suggest that we grow in self-confidence. And next we could look at the teachings on commitment to truthfulness or integrity in general, or sila in general. Like, why do you think it is that the Buddha images are always sitting or standing on a lotus flower? The lotus flower is the symbol for moral integrity. It's that beautifulness that arises up out of the filth of the swamp. Somebody who lives with moral integrity can move through the world without being defined by the world. If we are compromising integrity, if we're not being truthful, if we don't have the perception of ourselves that we're generally responsible, then we're not going to have a wholesome sense of confidence. We might have an artificial, imbalanced, ego-based sense of confidence because I think I can get away with all sorts of stuff. However, that's not beautiful and not lasting. When the Venerable Ananda was talking to the Buddha about the benefits of keeping the moral precepts, the Buddha pointed out that one of the direct effects of keeping moral precepts is freedom from remorse. So how many of us live a life that is really free from remorse? And what happens when we're not free from remorse? What happens in our hearts when we're burdened with remorse and regret? It saps our strength. It compromises our ability. And so keeping moral precepts or cultivating integrity builds up a sense of self-respect, builds up a sense of safety. A lot of people, particularly these days, are concerned with and talk about the need for a safe space. Well, yes, relatively speaking, there is grounds for being concerned about that. However, the real safe space that should be cultivated, if you're an adult, is within, is in your own heart, within your own consciousness. The sense that you know you can trust yourself, that's where the sense of safety comes from. If you think, for instance, that you can lie and get away with it because nobody knows about it, or you can take things that you're not entitled to because nobody finds out about it, you're dismissing yourself, because yourself knows about it. You know that you're not honest. You know that you're not dependable. You know that you're not reliable. And in that knowledge comes a undermining of your self-confidence. I often wonder what would be the effect if people going to see the GP or going to see a psychologist about their emotional troubles, what would be the effect if the therapist or the doctor encouraged them in the area of cultivating moral integrity, or questioned them about their relationship to moral integrity? The fact that the professionals don't question their clients about their moral integrity. There may be legal reasons why they don't do that. However, in my mind, it's like if somebody with diabetes going to see the doctor and the doctor doesn't ask them about how much chocolate they're eating or what their diet is. There's a direct correlation between what you eat and the sugar metabolism. And likewise, there's a direct correlation between how we conduct ourselves with body and speech and how confident we feel. Once again, bearing in mind this question, if we don't feel confident, then we're going to be projecting too much out onto what other people think. And conversely, if we do feel confident in a skillful, wholesome, balanced way, then there's less chance we're going to be projecting that out onto others. Whatever happens, whatever we do in life, people are going to criticize us. The Buddha was criticized. You know, somebody tried to get the Buddha killed and tried to cause schism in the spiritual community, treated the Buddha with serious disrespect. However, we can trust that the Buddha wasn't troubled by it. Even if there was an experience of pain that came with a perception of the ugliness of this behavior, that pain wasn't translated into suffering for the Buddha. Why? Because the Buddha had the highest virtue, which is wisdom. And the wisdom that sees that clinging to any conditioned phenomena is going to cause suffering. So the highest form of virtue, which is wisdom, is of course the best way to build up confidence. However, there are these other levels of virtue, like generosity, like moral integrity, they can also contribute to a natural and balanced sense of inner confidence. Likewise, the what's known traditionally as Nikkhamma Barami, or the ability to say no to our impulses. So many people these days have an uncomfortable relationship with their smartphone. So how do we deal with that? Well, we train ourselves to say no to the impulse. Some young man who came to visit me recently was telling me how first thing he gets up in the morning, he goes to his phone and he turns on the timer and then sits meditation. He doesn't check the content of the phone. He's doing this intentionally because he doesn't want to be enslaved by the desire to see how many people have responded to him or been in touch or whatever else on this phone. That's the ability to say no. Or other examples of being willing to say no. For instance, if somebody misunderstands something you've said and you feel like you're being perceived as an idiot and there's a strong impulse to defend yourself. I don't want to be misunderstood. And there's this urge to defend yourself. Can you say no to that? What is that sense of self that has to be approved of by other people? It's that inadequate sense of self that's projecting too much out onto other people. So can we say no to that impulse to defend ourselves? Then there's the virtue of determination or resolution, traditionally called Adhidhana Barami. Very good way of building up self-confidence. You decide you're going to sit meditation for 40 minutes and 30 minutes has passed and it's boring. You don't feel like you're getting anywhere. And you can, that sense of irritation and aversion for not getting what you want is not met as a feeling in the body, in the heart, and then it goes up into the head, and then it starts going around, and you start telling yourself stories about, well, yeah, well, it won't matter if I stop early because nobody knows I determined 40 minutes anyway, and oh, whatever, I don't want to be attached to rules, and we got all this stuff going on, justification, then we stop our meditation. The result of not following through on things we determine to do is a lack of self-confidence. And so if you say you're going to sit for 40 minutes and then after 30 minutes it's boring, you say, great, this is the perfect opportunity for me to cultivate determination or resolution. I said I was going to sit for 40 minutes, so I'm going to sit for 40 minutes. In fact, I'll sit for 45 minutes just so that I know I'm not going to be controlled by my preferences. The preference to stop sitting after 30 minutes or 35 minutes because what's happening in meditation is not interesting, is not appealing to your deluded sense of self. You know, do we want to be a slave to that? Well, if we do, we're always going to lack confidence. So addressing any tendencies we might have to compromise commitments that we've made. Turning up on time matters. If you say you're going to be somewhere at a certain time, then to be there at that time, not because you've got to just please the other person, which to some degree, of course, matters, you know, to, in terms of relationship and concord and so on, that is important. But the other aspect and what we're talking about here is that you know you can trust yourself. There can be a valuable sense of confidence that comes from that. So in answer to this question about jealousy and envy, and what I would suggest is ascribing too much value to other people's opinion of you, there are a lot of encouragements in our tradition and in our teachings that aim directly at building up an appropriate sense of self-confidence. Let's be quite clear, this is not being indifferent to what other people might think of us. That's also got its place. That's an aspect of otapa, you know, the Hiri and Otapa, the Buddha referred to as the protectors of the world. That is the appropriate sense of skillful shame and the fear of the consequence of our heedlessness, our being lost in heedlessness. An aspect of that is the concern we have for other people's opinion of us. So finding a balance, of course, as usual, is important. It's not balance in the sense of not having any tension. A lot of our life, there is going to be tension around. It can be a constructive tension if we stay balanced. So thank you for your question, and I very much hope that that's helpful.